Blast off.
Conference is being recorded.
Sound like somebody's got a wild hair.
Oh, it's so passionate here.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the Wednesday evening call where we go over the questions submitted. You got questions, we got answers. It is September the 23rd, 2015. Glad to have you all here with us. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, as usual. And our dear host, Win Free, is with us. And so is Terry Brown.
Terry, are you there?
I welcome you all.
I'm here. Yeah.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Great to hear your voice. How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
Just okay?
My dinner got spilled all over, so I was just trying to clean it up here, but
Don't tell them who spilled your dinner.
When spilled your dinner?
Hey, hi.
Jim, Isis,
Jim. Perry had a lovely dinner for which she is internally grateful.
Very good.
It can't be that good if it's spilled on the floor.
Yeah, but you left it up.
All right, where's the mute button? Here we go. Time to start.
Yes, where's the mute button?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right, you know, this is September 23rd, 2015, and welcome to our question and answer call. And this is supposed to be that incredible time when the whole planet shifts. Now, I personally, I'm open to all that happening, but I haven't got that from our sources. You know, there's something that's wrong with that, and what it is, not that I don't want it to happen, is that if free will is truly honored, then there are a lot of people on this planet that are committed to a negative path. They're committed to enslaving other people. So how can the whole planet shift when that's true? Because that would force those people into something that they don't want. And consistently, they've been telling us there's going to be a separation of souls. And both groups would be walking the planet at the same time. Now, they started saying that years ago. And it was, you know, at a time when I said, well, how the hell is that going to look? And I keep seeing that it seems to be accurate. And if you guys notice, there are those people that are on one side of the fence, and everyone else is just weird. I mean, you know, you talk to them, they go unconscious. It's like the young people, somebody said that, and I hate to say this, so let's say it, but somebody had said, not the Elohim, that the people under 19 are totally lost. And it's like they have been programmed for their entire lives, and they don't have a clue what's going on. It's like, I think that there are cycles of energy that are projected on our planet that we pass through. And when we are in general, a high cycle of energy, you know, the fact that we can do a conference call and energy can move through all of us, and that we can feel each other, and we can feel our sources, in some ways is indicative to me that we are in a high energy field. And I have the intuition that, of course, there weren't telephones 2,000 years ago. There wasn't internet 2,000 years ago. But if there were, I'm not sure that a call like this would be possible. And that from what I understand, that in order for people to get into a high enough energy field to expand their chakras and their DNA, the energy of the universe, the flow of the universe, had to be focused through a pyramid, which is one of the reasons there was pyramids. They were initiation chambers for people. Now, we had a session where they said that pyramids also had the effect of balancing the energy of the entire planet and keeping it more stable. And it's why there were pyramids placed at different parts of the planet. And probably under the auspices of the Ra group. It's my understanding that the pyramids in Egypt were certainly under their auspices and came through Carla Ruckert and Edgar Cayce. And then there were pyramids in South America, and the Ra group said they were in South America working with people through Carla Ruckert. So, but right now, it's like the windows of the energy flows are wide open. Why is that? Well, let's just say that the energy, we do this in all of our invocations, the energy of the center of the universe moving through the galaxies, moving through the planets, moving through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Well, it's my understanding that there is an energy that radiates from the center of the universe, and is kind of like the building block of everything else. It's the building block of planets. It's the building block of you and I. It's the building block of dimensions. And that energy has to travel on a path through the galaxies, through star systems, through the Earth, and that there's the path, since everything is always in motion and moving, that path can be more clear or less clear, depending on how many obstructions there are. So I would guess that there are less obstructions now. There's a clear shot. I think astrologers say this. So the energy is really strong. And we're going to ask a question about this. Somebody submitted it. And is there something special about the 23rd and the 24th? When I hear about things that are special, I know in the past, at least my own research, and I'm not going to go into explaining this, but there is definitely an agenda of keeping people rallied in this realm and focused at a lower level so they don't move into their highest creative potential. Because if enough people moved into their highest creative potential, then the whole planet could theoretically shift. In spite of all the negative, I mean, they'd still be negative, but just nobody would be paying any attention. But it doesn't seem like it's close to that. We have this little call, and I think we're doing it on this call. And many of you have had experiences of things shifting in your life. And why aren't there a million people on this call? I don't know. It's like I start to think I'm not doing a good job. And then I start to think, well, people aren't interested. It's too weird. It's like, how do you get through to them? And I keep hammering away. And I thank all of you who are getting it. I think you're getting it. And keep coming back and feeling those energies that are present here. So on that note, let me just start off with our questions tonight. And I want to say, I've said this many times, but I can't say it enough, particularly when there's new people listening. That is, the Elohim, the Ra group, are not available for us to demand them to do something, and they do it. The way it works is via an interaction energetically between us and them. They're not doing it to us. They're doing it with us. And oftentimes people ask questions that indicates they think that it's being done to us, like tell the Elohim to get me a job or a girlfriend, or somebody has said help us make money because it's so hard. You know, I'm thinking of how to help people make money. I am. I'm thinking all the time of finding the right way that people can have money. And there's this new age idea, partially stemming from The Secret, that it's easy. You just have to wish it and think it, and it comes in. And that's probably true if you're one of the makers of The Secret. But there's to me, there's a lot of defects in The Secret. It was partially true. But the biggest defect is it just didn't talk about service at all. It talked about how to, you know, have more in this realm. And for some reason, it's okay. I'm not going to say that someone shouldn't have as much as they want. But it's easier said than done. And I know better than most the power of synchronicity and the power of meeting people and who can help you. But you have to have the right intention, because you could have the right synchronicity, and I've had this many times, you could have the right synchronicity and you don't take advantage of it. You don't know how to take advantage of it. It's kind of like, were you ever wishing that you had a girlfriend or a partner or a boyfriend, and then suddenly you're sitting next to somebody in some circumstance, or you meet somebody, and then suddenly you find everything wrong with them. I want it this way. I want it that way. And they could have been the perfect partner, and you didn't take it. This could be the perfect money-making opportunity, but you don't take it because you're trying to control the game. And the synchronicities are bringing things to you, potentially, and it is part of your work that's making those things happen. It's part of you on other realms, and then you have to make it work when it comes in. And it doesn't mean because it came in, it's meant to work either. See, it's tricky. It's like, what question? They said, well, even there can be negative synchronicities, bringing you into the sphere of negative circumstances. people that you had negative stuff with in past life. So you have to be aware. You have to be on your toes. And I think a lot of the work we're doing on our conference calls is addressing all of it in a big way. So if all of this resonates, please listen to all those calls as much as you can, because there are so many. Aside from the good energy, there are so many tips about things. And, you know, one sentence that's the right sentence for you can totally change your path. I've had that happen to me many times in my life, where I was looking and looking and looking, and there was a sentence that just totally, bum, got me, okay? And then another sentence, totally got me. And you may have to wade through a bunch of stuff before you get to your sentence, but it's there. Believe me, we have 1,000 calls up there, and if we had more time, I would be working to help organize this vast monopoly, I think is the word, of information and, you know, upliftment, because make it easier for people to find stuff. But on the other hand, there's a value in making it hard to find stuff. You know, there's one teacher that Terry knows that comes from some tradition where they never wrote anything down. Everything had to go from by mouth and verbally. And I can see why someone might do that, because less chance of turning it into a dogma, a doctrine, and it has to be communicated one person to the next. So we're not doing that, but we do have all the stuff buried in 1,000 calls there. And it's up to you to get your shovel and unbury it till you find the jewels that are meant for you, because I believe they're there. Okay?
You know, when I want to add something to when you're talking about intentions, I think it's very important that those intentions come from your heart rather than from your head. Because if you write, you know, I am rich, you write it all over the wall and you say it time after time, if it comes from your head, it's not going to do you anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not, you know, a person has to learn to get into their heart.
Yes. And if you, even if you just imagine that you are thinking from your heart rather than from your head, I know it works.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think one thing that helps is that, you know, in the Old Testament, they had something, in fact, remember this. What's it called when you make an agreement with God's eyes? A covenant, right? Covenant is the word. And it's kind of like, instead of just wanting to be rich, or instead of just wanting to take care of your family, that's a big priority. I would not tell anyone not to want to take care of their family. I don't think there's anything that can make somebody feel worse than when they're the breadwinner and their family is suffering. But nonetheless, you can add the addendum to a request, help me be free financially so I can create more service in this realm, and really mean it. Don't joke, because you're needed for that. And don't just say, "Well, I want to be rich so I can go to the Bahamas every year for a vacation." Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go to the Bahamas, but just add the agreement to your higher self. I want to do more. I want to help people. And you can only help people with your excess. Excess of time, excess of money, excess of emotional energy. When you have no excess, it's really hard to be of service. It's really hard not to be a slave, because whoever can help you ends up totally manipulating you if they want to. All right, let's get right to the questions, and let's see if Terry is unmuted. Are you unmuted, Terry? I don't hear you, Terry. Call in Terry, Earth to Terry. Well, just interrupt. I'm going to keep talking. Hurry up, Terry. All these people have questions.
Okay. Yeah, I was calling in the light.
I'm going to call in the light, but I just don't want to call it in and go, duh, where are you?
Right. Yeah.
So we went and saw Terry Friedman 2 days ago. We took him out to dinner, and I want you to know that, you know, we've collected about $1,200 for Terry, and he was really feeling it was the best I've seen him in recent times. It's not Terry, you're making too much noise. Terry?
Yeah.
Terry Brown, you sound like you're firecrackers. What are you doing?
I just plugged in the battery to my headset.
All right. You should mute your headset while you're doing that.
Yeah.
I hear every push and shove, okay? We have to look more professional, Terry. We have more people paying attention to us. People listen to that. I mean, the people that are on our lines for a long time, they know we're just dingbats, but new people don't know that yet. Let them grow into it, okay? Thank you. All right. In any case, let's see here. You know, when you learn we're dingbats, it's good, because then you can be a dingbat, and we're all just falling over each other and our feet in this world. And it's okay. It's part of the discovery of things. It's part of allowing space so that things can come in. You know, people that don't allow space have a very hard time having something new happen. All right, let's get going here. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity, you take into the highest realms of light and transmute it for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection for all those that would voluntarily partake of that. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We are here. And we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and we multilinearly expand our space to include every single person who wishes to be included. And we make connection directly. We do not come through the telephone line or the computer. We simply come directly to each and every one of you. We are glad to be of assistance where we can, and it is a sacred moment in time when we get to connect with those that wish to be connected with. When is very correct. When, if you have something within your heart that you wish to happen. We are assistants. We do not just do it for you. You are the power wheel behind it. We can come in and give assistance to you with our toolbox, which includes frequencies, which includes connecting up synchronicities, but it is connecting up so that we need something to connect up to. We hope this is clear. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. I'm going to start out with a question from Emily F. in London, UK. And she asks, I have had lots of fear in me since childhood, and I believe that fear unconsciously drives a big part of my life. I am prone to spend my spare time on empty stuff, such as social media, Facebook, and shopping, and it drains my energy away from doing more positive things in my life. And I would like to have the source's help to be a stronger person from within, to find my true passion. How can I keep my heart open with so much fear in me? Thank you.
Thank you. As we look at the space around your house, the place where you live, the ambience, the frequencies in the area in which you live and in where you have particularly connected with Facebook and social media, we understand it, but we see those frequencies that you wish to move beyond. They're around you, close in and far away, and connected to other people on Facebook and social media that are similar. And so you are not only experiencing your fear, you are helping to magnify and to experience their fear. To overcome that, you can find something that makes you feel interested, excited, and whole for the longer term than just the shorter flash, bring up tone experience. We see it as not just you, but the area of the city where you live that has this frequency that you are experiencing around it. If you can move outside of this frequency, this bubble, this experience, because the answer is outside of the experience you are in, because you wish to experience something more substantial and something more worthwhile, which brings us up to something you might actually start doing that could enhance your experience of contribution in a worthwhile manner. And that would be in working with others. For instance, working with individuals, this is not the general place to end up, but to working with individuals so you can contribute much to in an old age home, something where you could add significance to their life. You can experiment with different things that are outside of this experience you wish to leave, and to connect up with different experiences that give you satisfaction that you are contributing and can eventually move into and get excited about and leave the old frequencies behind.
Thank you. I hope that helps. Next question here. This is from, let's see. This is from, I think I'll ask that question later. Let me ask them all in here. This is from a gentleman by the name of Bill S. In Olympia, Washington. And he's planning to leave Olympia and move. He's planning, I'll just read it. I'm planning a visit to Washington, D.C., from Olympia, Washington State, which may lead me away from my first love, the Pacific Northwest, and live there with someone I've basically just met. Which do I choose, the Pacific Northwest or Washington, D.C.? I understand I'm going with an open heart and nothing else other than my own gut instincts, which tells me it's the right way to go. As I haven't even dated in the last 7 years, I just don't want to wind up going only because I'm lonely for female company. That's the only real concern I have. But I thank you for asking, despite your reservations about doing so. I had sent him an email that said they're not going to make a decision for you. My dreams always point me in the right direction, and all of them regarding this move are supportive of my decision. So I've never taken advantage of the opportunity to ask a question. I was just looking for one more synchronicity to cement things and eliminate lingering doubts I still have. Thank you.
Thank you. When you make a decision and it is a potential goal and it is something that you may really process by spiritually and with companionship, it is possible to go and not burn all your bridges behind you, but to go and check it out and even commit to it. And if, when you first start, there will be things to move through, to work out, but to communicate with the other individual, see where the individual is really coming from and have true heart-to-heart communication as you set up the relationship in Washington. And to, in the communications, see what you have in common and see where this could really go into a fulfilled, committed relationship.
Thank you. I think, you know, a lot of times people ask me, should they move somewhere? Should they move to a certain city? And where should they move? And in general, I think that if you're living on the coastlines, of either cosine that it's not a bad idea to move inland a little bit, just in case something happens, because there is that potential. But otherwise, look for a small city that has a sense of community. Not only living on the coastline has got maybe geological issues, but if you are living in a city, and we have a big economic breakdown, which many, many people are saying, don't ask me to ask the Elohim, because they're not going to say it's going to happen. It's like nothing has to happen, particularly in the realms we're working with. We're working in the realms that everything could shift if enough people came onto this call. I believe that. But nonetheless, there's a lot of trajectories that are, you know, from everything from spiritual to economic people and people that are experts in banking saying we're going to have the worst downslide economically ever. And could that happen next month, next year, 2 years from now? I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen. And I hope there's a way to bypass it. The problem is our money is really unbalanced, and if it does happen, I think it's possible the cities are going to become a nightmare, and you couldn't get out if you wanted to. There would be no gas. There may be no food on the shelves. There could be no trucking. It's all in the level of potential. So if you're going to move somewhere, so look at the place you're going to move to as a place that's small enough, and maybe there's local farms, so that if it survives something and just not go berserk. And another factor is, who do you know in the city? It's really good to know people that you can count on. And can you develop a relationship in one city or another with someone? You know, if things break down, it's going to be very hard to develop relationships, because too many people are going to be desperately hitting on people that are in safe areas. So this is the time to develop connections in areas and develop family. And there's so many things I would like to do that I just don't have time to do, working just with the people on our calls who I know could benefit from getting into a closer connection with each other. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, a comment to make?
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
This playing it safe would be a lower priority to having a fulfilling experience with someone in a location in some city. It is important to fulfill the affairs of the heart. One could move to some safe location and play it safe, as opposed to some other thing that might fulfill them and might have a more uncertain future. But then they may be unfulfilled to stay in a safe location. And even if something happened, the fulfillment would be taken with them. It is memories. It is experiences. people take with them from life to life.
Thank you for that clarification, and I think I agree. It's better to die happy and fulfilled than to live and survive.
Did one drop out?
Yes, one dropped out. Jim, are you there?
Let me go see.
All right.
All right. I'm coming out of this channel now.
Yes, unfortunate. All right. Thank you all so much for being here, ladies and gentlemen. Let us just hold this page and Irwin is back. Okay.
I'm back. Okay.
You're back. Okay. Sometimes the energy gets so high that it disconnects the phone line.
Okay. Next question here.
See if Terry's back in.
Yeah, I'm going back to the channel.
Did you drop out too, Jerry?
No. So, no, but I came out of the trance to go find you.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's just bring in the light. Get centered. Focus. Have our sources present.
Yes, they're here.
Okay. Now, this is just... this is the question that inspired my comment. And this is from Steve B. in Los Angeles. And he asked a second time, I would love to know if it benefits my highest good in any of the areas of health, career, and relationship to relocate out of Los Angeles to another state in the United States. And if a particular one comes up for any reason, which one? Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. You are obviously thinking of relocating and have looked at a number of reasons for locating. And as news flashes come across the line, for instance, in the area of earthquakes or other things that might be detrimental, then it reinforces your desire to find another place that may be safer. We suggest that you look at what your things are that you do for a living, things that you could reestablish in an area that looks good to you. We take a look first at the earthquake potential, which the USGS publicizes is a potential problem, and we see that Los Angeles is not yet in the fire for a huge earthquake, although it could be a potential for fours, or even some fives. So we see at this point that it is not in the line of fire before a huge earthquake. So, if you were going to find an area that was safe from a future earthquake, it might be interesting to look at areas which are having earthquakes now in the 4s or 5s and volcanoes that are potentially having earthquakes at the earthquake at the volcano location, which are in the 4s at this time, or 3s or 2s. There are many things at play that can create potential for earthquakes. There's earthquakes in other parts of the world that then are followed by earthquakes in Los Angeles and California, for instance, New Guinea. If you check New Guinea earthquakes and the area of Solomon Islands, and then see which are followed by California earthquakes, you can begin to sense a pattern. Now, to take a look at what you like to do, what you like to do as a living, that would be one factor to factor in when you choose a place to go. If you say choose a place that is not in the line of fire, say, around the Pacific Rim, but there are other places which can also be open for earthquakes. We would suggest areas, if you so decide, that are farther from the coast, as Gwen was talking about, higher up in altitude, and where you could express yourself, earn your living, and if you are so inclined, to grow some of your own food, so that if different things happen, like the grid went down, you would be able to survive, if this would make you feel more safe. For people who live in Los Angeles area, it is, as we were speaking with the last person, if your job and if your home are bringing you fulfillment and your family is there, we do not see the need to change, as stability in the area can be created by people such as you. And it is needed for people to bring stability to areas in that can't move into upset or riots. Stability people that are stable, family, businesses are needed there to keep things stable. We hope that helps.
Thank you. Next question is about Reiki. And oftentimes people email me and they're interested in going into a healing modality. Reiki comes up, other things come up. And there's an across-the-board interesting answer about that. That is, regardless of whatever modality you're choosing to pursue, your relationship with the Christ energy or the energy, the beloved energy, or the energy of the universe is going to impact your ability to heal people more than the modality. And the modality is just a tool for you to move your energy through. And in fact, if you happen to be negative, that same modality could be a tool for negative. So, and that's come up a number of times. Let me ask this gentleman's question. This is from Aaron in Plymouth, Wisconsin. And he set this up here. I recently heard you on Coast to Coast. I was impressed. I have been a long-time listener and caller. I am so glad you were on the program. I have listened to a few of your recent recordings and attended a live call. And I believe that I have had 3 near-death experiences at age 11, 18, and 44. I was given gifts on the other side and was each time returned back to my body. My gifts are music and laying on of hands healing. I have studied music since I was 3 and got very good at guitar and have written songs for bands, but I am not thriving. And this laying on of the hands healing is a mystery to me. In 2010, I became a Reiki 1 certified, but was recently told by one male psychic medium that laying on of hands and Reiki are 2 different modalities of healing, and that I need to practice both. Then a female clairvoyant told me the contrary, tomatoes, tomato. I think I understand Reiki because I had a Reiki master teach it to me, and I've had a music teachers too, but I have never had a teacher for the laying on of hands gift. I'm guessing that when I get permission to heal a person or an animal, I place my hands on the body, call in my guides, and simply intend for the healing to take place. It's my intention that bridges to the spirits who then create the healing. To date, I have had rudimentary success with both distant healing and in-person laying on of hands healing, but it does not work every time like I want it to. According to Terry Friedman, Aaron, even Jesus didn't work every time, and he told his disciples they just had to go along with that. It's not going to work every time. I am an empathetic healer, wanderer, volunteer, starseed, who was diagnosed with mild Asperger's, learning difficulties, depressions, 2 traumatic brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, spinal fusion, PTSD, and am also gifted by my doctor. I have had 24 different jobs during this lifetime. I'm a disabled veteran, and I just don't fit in anywhere. Please ask and then thank Elohim or Ra. What are the differences between Reiki and laying on of hands? And can I become a repeatable conduit to healing mammals with my bare hands? Thank you, Aaron from Plymouth, Wisconsin.
Thank you. You fit in with us. And so we see you as a, you might call, like an angel of light that can bring healing to people. You can introduce it into your music, into the chords, into the vibrations that you put in your music and make beautiful music for people. Of frequencies that are so loving and high vibration, they carry the healing that is also present in the laying on of hands. You have the ability to bring these frequencies to people. Do not always expect it to work, because it takes the people themselves to latch on to it and use it for their own healing, as there is power behind the intent to heal within themselves. Sometimes they have not grasped that they do have this ability, or sometimes there is something they need to learn, and that there's sometimes when they are so connected with something that is keeping them sick that they're unwilling or don't even know that they're doing, and they don't let go of it. But even the laying on of hands, or the sending of the energy of laying on of hands through Reiki or through music, it all fits together. It can work together. It can provide them, bathe them in frequencies that if they are so inclined, they can grasp and they can make their own. If something doesn't work with some people, do not feel bad. It is not a reflection upon your ability, as free will needs to be granted and each person has to participate in their own healing.
Thank you. It seems to me that person has great potential to call on. You know, what I notice, the people in our group that are great healers, they learn to have a team behind them, and they learn to have trust in their team, and they're just a conduit. And I think the way that person expressed themselves, they seem to have be a pretty old soul with very high intentions. And they probably have a team waiting for them once they start actually manifesting. Any truth in that?
The energies connect, the healing energies connect with the healing energies within the universe, within the individuals who are expressing healing energies. And they, the energies of the universe move in, and the energies of all individuals or entities that are in that frequency can help contribute to the healing.
Thank you. We're going over. I hope we're still on BBS. We tried it last week, and we didn't end up there.
We are still on BBS, and there is no show after us, so maybe we can hold on a little longer.
So let's hold on a little longer. We have John Sidorovsky is asking about people who graduate this realm, and will they eventually become part of the Ra group, or will they become a new group soul with a new identity, and or will they return to their original respective soul groups? You know, John, usually when you ask questions like this, you often think there's one way, and the chances are there's probably lots of ways that it's going to happen. Some souls will start new groups. Some souls will go back to the Ra group. Some souls will start a new group, which will eventually affiliate with the Ra group. You know, as I see it, it's all just, you know, creating as it goes by the mutual decisions of everything. You know, oftentimes people think in terms of, well, I'm going to be in the Ra group, and that's exalted, or I'm going to go back to the Elohim, and that's exalted. And in fact, oftentimes the highest service is to stay closer to this realm, because this is the realm that you know, you've learned how to work to some extent. And if you graduate, you may have more, you may choose not to go really high, not because you couldn't if you wanted to, but because this realm we're in is so in need of beings to give it support. Now, I might be wrong there, but let me turn it over to our sources and see what they say.
Thank you. You are correct in that there are many alternatives. You can, even if you wish, go back to some other galaxy, some other planet where you had originally come from. You do not have to stay in this universe. You, if you are master enough, you can go back to God. If you wish and connect up with the Ra group, you can go and join the Ra group and energetically contribute and relate to the Ra group. If you wish, you can go to heaven, and in heaven to meet friends that you have known before, and to recover and debrief in the heavenly realm, and then get help in deciding where it is you wish to go from there to a higher group, or maybe even into a Ra group, or back to another reincarnation in Earth. There is much help available when a person transitions.
Somebody asked a question tonight, and that was, can I erase myself from the Book of Records, from the Akashic Records? In other words, they're saying, can I stop existing for all time?
One way to stop existing in the physical universe, because that is where you exist, is to move back to being totally you and not two or more, but to become simply an energy unit. For to exist, as you know, the human body has more than one component. It has cells, it has organs, it has a mind, it has different features that all work together to create a composite being. And when one wishes, as they do in some religions, to simply merge back into God, they can let this all go, which is really hard because they are so fused in with the other components and the mechanisms for survival that have brought them here, that it is hard to go back, but it is possibility to go back, and then you still can be aware, but you are not component of the physical universe when you go back to God, but it takes giving up the ego, and it takes simply there are a lack of terms for this, to go back to nothingness, yet to be a part of God before existence occurs. Otherwise, it is hard to give up existence and to simply not exist. One can pretend that they don't exist, but still they find themselves existing, and then they put themselves in a quandary of exist, not exist, exist, not exist, but in truth, they still exist.
I would imagine if someone is cursing this realm, cursing all the negativity here, cursing how hard their life is, being very, very sad and saying, I want to get out of this. And I would imagine a person that's going through something like that would have a hard time getting out of it. It would be a person who is being very fulfilled and some level that might be able to rise above it all. But I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
We did not totally understand the last sentence. Could you repeat that?
If someone is really having a hard time in this realm, is really unhappy, is facing constant obstacles of one kind or another, if they're in that situation and they say, okay, I want out, is that a platform which someone can say that and get out?
No, they can't get out on that platform because they still have a tension on getting out, which means they are still in. So for one to have those problems and wish to disappear into nothingness, they still have those problems written upon their composite reality. And they will, until they address it and the attention comes up, they will get in a exist. I want to exist. I don't want to exist. I have this problem. I deny I have this problem. But as long as your attention's on it, it's gonna take their energy. And if they try to get out of it through avoidance, it will still be there. And it will still exist. That is one of the things of existence, that you have two things in opposition. And it creates a problem, a hang-up, or an attention jitter, and they are unable to leave it behind. When they're able to have no more attention on it, to have stepped out of the circle, the sphere of commitment, of that they don't want it, but it's there, but they don't want it. And as long as they're in that sphere, they are in the energy of it. And even though they try to make it not exist, they are in opposition. And it is a problem still. And when they can be fulfilled and they can step out of the circle of commitment to this that they don't want, or they want to get out of, when they can step out of it and not even have any tension on it, like it doesn't bother them anymore. And they've stepped outside of the influence of it, and they don't even play their attention on it anymore. Then they can leave it behind.
Thank you. I'm going to do two more questions. And I want to remind you all, if you keep asking your question, it eventually will come up. You have to ask it again because, first of all, I don't know if you're going to be listening next time. Second of all, that some of you are getting this, that the way they answer questions, it may be specifically for a person, but oftentimes it is applicable to lots of people, and you can learn stuff by listening to the answers to everyone else. And if you happen to be really evolved, then you can be part of helping the energy on the call. It's like, so somebody had asked one question, somebody asked Tara in Markham, Ontario, Canada, north of Markham, Ontario, Canada, wants a decision, an investment decision on making money. And I certainly wish they would give that to me, but they haven't yet. And in fact, if you read the Creator God book, you'll know in the first 6 months, we really didn't have any money. And I thought this was really important. And I said, and you know, they had predicted a newspaper headline. They had done some predictions that were very accurate. And I said, can you guys help me with the horse races? And they said, it would send me back to patterns of previous lifetimes. And I can see where it wouldn't be a good thing for them to help people with investment things or the lottery things. Because money is such a challenge in this realm. And oftentimes when people get financial freedom, they don't use it for the highest good of all concerned. They just use it to control others. And yet we don't think we're going to do that. We end up doing it. Because suddenly everybody wants to know us because we have money, and it's an easy way to get attention. And that if the Elohim became investment advisors, it would damage their role of bringing spiritual energy into this realm, I think. But there are investment advisors. If you really research the internet and you find someone that is actually succeeding, that you trust, then the chances are that person could help you. And the Elohim, I don't know if they could, but I don't think they would. Can we turn it over to a quick answer on that?
Thank you. You might want to ask yourself some questions. How did you hear of the investment? Was somebody touting the investment? Is that somebody? What is their track record? Is there a solid foundation for the money that the company is making? Is it a matter that all of the foundational things in the company indicate that it will keep making money? What is the track record of the company? Is the stock going up? Is it in a category of stocks that are going up? Is it just a whim guess, a hope? The foundation of the company is important. Its track record is important. And overall, the category it's in too is important. And for us, we would also say in it may not apply to you, but is it something that contributes for the highest good or not? Well, those are some of our comments. So be your own burdock and get a good sense of the company.
Thank you. That was a great answer. Okay, last question. Before I ask this last question, Brad in Apache Junction, ask your question next week, okay? Mayuran in Scarborough, Toronto, ask your question next week if you want to, okay? Kevin Cotter in Plain City, Ohio, ask your question next week. That's a good one, okay? We had somebody that asked a question about something that Matthew had said, and I'd like to ask that question to Terry Friedman. I tried to get him on the line tonight and hear what he has to say about it. We know that because something was in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean it came from Jesus. And there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that is absolutely right on and came from Jesus. And I can tell just from my own experience. And then there's other things that the Bible's gone through a lot of editing by humans. So you have to use your own discernment. You know what? Before I go, I'm going to do two more questions. I did promise this one person I would ask their question tonight. And this is from Don in Texas. And he's not on our calls often, and he's made a special effort to be on. And he just wanted to pass a request to say a heartfelt prayer for my sister-in-law's husband, Dr. Tom Barker, of Fort Worth, Texas. Just learned this evening when his wife, my sister-in-law, called to inform me why they had not called often. He fell about a month to 6 weeks ago and has a bleeding in the brain. He's had surgery, is now recovering in a full-care nursing home, in and out of consciousness with his wife, spending about 12 hours a day with him. She's exhausted but doing well. She's worried, and she's tired. They are both in their early 70s. They're really good people. And he just asks for a prayer for them. And I'll make an exception We usually do this on a Sunday call, but I'm putting it in Wednesday. And do you have any comments?
It is his sister-in-law that called.
Don is the person who is relating to his sister-in-law's husband, Dr.
Yes.
Tom Walker. Yeah.
Yes, we look and we see your sister-in-law can help when she visits him to gently touch him on the hands, give him some massage, gentle touch, stimulation, and gently talk to him. This will help him bring himself into focus in the present time. As he focuses on your sister-in-law's words and on her touch, and will help his neurons in his brain to reactivate in places where they can be reactivated and other places where it would be harder to activate them, but this gentle connection to help him refocus back.
Thank you. I'm just going to ask a very quick synopsis of Dharmananda's question. I'm fitting this one in as well. There are some people that channel, that talk to spirits, that refer to something they call the mighty Elohim. And is the mighty Elohim to whom we're speaking now, is that a lower level of the Elohim, or is that the Anunnaki, or does it vary?
We do not consider us mighty. We see that there are some lower level of Elohim that the power has gone to their head, and they consider themselves mighty. However, we are mainly love in action.
Thank you. That's what I thought the answer was, but I just thought I'd get it from the horse's mouth. You're not a horse, excuse me. Get it from our source directly. Now, Mark Sonnenberg asked a question about the Tao. And the Tao is a Chinese word, I believe. Probably the person that was the major proponent of it was a Chinese teacher by the name of Lao Tzu. And he wrote a book called Tao Te Ching, which had a lot of very cryptic, poetic sayings in it, trying to describe the Tao. And one of the things that I am most interested in and have the greatest feeling for when spoken about is the difference between the nature of the different entities. Several years ago, they explained the nature of Rupa Katkacha, which has been translated Holy Spirit. This is the answer in August 2010. Now, I don't know if he's, it sounds like he might be quoting one of our conference calls, but I don't remember this at all, but I thought whatever was said was really beautiful. And here's what he wrote here. We tried to think of the exact way to say this. This is a very loving spirit It is a group of individuals that worked in the time of Jesus and before and after. They are within the Ra group, and they are a dissolver of karma and a giver of forgiveness and a harmonizing influence for the betterment of mankind and individuals on the earth plane. When one asks for the Holy Spirit, they may experience spiritual peace, and they may experience help and assistance and calmness, and they may experience alleviations when they ask for forgiveness of their guilt. And they may be helped tremendously by this group of spirits working together. It is more than a group of spirits working together. We find it difficult to express in words how magnificent and miraculous the works of this group are, as they are indeed a special sacred group. We even hesitate to call them a group. In this zone, one may find their own soul and be forgiven and again achieve their worthiness. And it works with all of mankind, and it's available to all of mankind, and has the ability to be present when one intends or asks for their presence. We do not do it justice in how magnificent it is in our description. And wow, that was in 2010, and I don't even remember it. I think we should call on them.
Thank you. We do remember. And it is also known as the Holy Spirit, and is there for all who ask.
We'll talk. Maybe we can get their help in the work we're doing and ask for it in particular, okay? And Mark says, I like the flavor of the language and read this often. It makes me feel different than many or all other descriptions of Ra and Elohim. I get a great deal out of all of the time they talk about their respective natures. I would love to hear their description of Tao, especially since it is traditionally much less anthropomorphized than the different gods and gods. I guess the different gods, and then gods with a big G, and anthropomorphized. Do you guys know what that word means, or should I look it up? No comment.
It means humanized. Humanized.
Humanized, okay. The Tao, especially since it's traditionally much less anthropomorphized than the different gods and gods, less humanized. It's just pure energy of Tao that moves through everything. Kind of reminds me of the idea of the torsion wave energy, or the field energy that Rumi and others talk about. And so can we have your description of the Tao? Thank you.
Thank you. We would like to make this the last question, as when you indicate that it's going to be the last question, we start Jerry begins to leave trance, and it becomes difficult to continue. Give us a moment to get back into trance. The Tao, the way, is a pathway, as you have mentioned, the torsion energy pathway that things can move through and move into manifestation and give strength and backbone and backing to one's spiritual muscle. The Tao is important and is there, no matter what you call it?
Thank you. I want to thank everybody. We're getting great questions tonight. And the quality of our questions and the depth is really high. All of you that are going through issues, and I know that there's some of you that ask questions about the issues you're going through. Please ask them again. It's really valuable to ask the question. Sometime years ago, I asked a question about, is there any benefit to asking a question besides the actual answer? And they said there was. And they said when they go to answer a question, they move into the consciousness of the person asking the question. And in moving into the consciousness, and when they retreat, they leave a track, and that it makes it easier for the person to access the energy of the higher realms once that track is there. So if you did ask a question, you might pay attention and contemplate if you can find that track after the call is over. And it's a very sacred and valuable thing to have the opportunity to ask a question on this call. So please ask your question again. I do my best to be equitable and also to myself, because we never have enough time to do all the things we need to do. And yet I know how important this is to many of you. So on that note, thanks for being here. Thank you, Hives. And can you unmute people, Hives?
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, everybody.
Much love to you all.